The topic today is the key point of practice in terms of Jikige Jōtō in Japanese. It's very difficult to translate it. Jikige, J-I-K-I, G-E, Jikige, Jōtō, J-O-T-O, Jōtō. Jikige means directness or direct. Jōtō, I think in this translation it says realization, but realization is fine, but don't know how can I say Jōtō is to receive, to ingest, or to assimilate, or to absorb. In other words, to literally it means Jō of Jōtō is to receive, to accept. But this is something more than just to receive or to accept. So to assimilate, to absorb, to ingest. That is meaning of Jō, of Jōtō. Tō is it. The ultimate identity. Tō of Jōtō is it. Or the ultimate identity. Do you understand? Ultimate identity means the ultimate itself. Exactly ultimate itself. No separation between you and the ultimate identity, ultimate of being. So you are exactly the ultimate of being. So that is it. Okay? So to receive and So Jōtō, the other whole Jōtō means to assimilate or to receive and actualize it. Is that okay? To assimilate and to actualize it. You digest, you have to digest it and then actualize it. That is Jōtō, okay? So realization, almost, realization is fine. Realization means, in a sense, to make real or to actualize. But Jōtō means not something you should accept from outside and digest and then actualize. This is not meaning of Jōtō, because not this it doesn't come from outside. It is in you, okay? It is already with you. So we are, anyway, present in it. Okay? Then you can actualize yourself, what you are. Okay? So this is meaning of Jo-to, that's why jikige means direct. Direct, the direct jo-to, direct accepting and actualizing it. Okay. So it is not something coming from outside, that's why direct. Okay. Direct. Direct means no gap between. Okay, anyway, let's see the Gakudo Jinshu number 10. It says, title is The Direct Realization of the Way. Here says, it's used the way, but literally it says it. It's it, the ultimate. So, I told you so far I have talked about spoken about the bodhicitta and also faith. So as the key point of the practice, and then next, you have to actualize it. You have to ingest the bodhicitta and faith and actualize it. Actualize these two, okay? In our everyday practice. So that's why this is Dogen Zenji mentions there are two ways to settle body and mind in oneness. One is to listen to the Dharma under a great teacher, Okay. The other is to do Zazen wholeheartedly. So there are two ways to settle body and mind in oneness. This is my translation. But in this book says there are two ways to realize enlightenment. That's it. But originally Dogen Zenji mentions there are two ways to settle the body and mind. Very difficult to translate, but I think, but to settle body and mind anyway in oneness. In other words, your body, if your body is here and listening to the Buddha's teaching, so all you have to do is your body and mind must be settled right here, right now. Okay. Becoming one with the Buddha's teaching. Okay. That is called settling. To settle your body and mind in oneness. Okay. In other words, you have to settle your body and mind in repose and bliss right here, right now. For this, there are two ways. Okay. That is, listen to the Buddha's teaching under the guidance of a great teacher. Second is to do Zazen wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly is constantly, Dr. Abe says, negotiating way. Negotiating way. I don't know negotiating way. But anyway, in many ways, you have to negotiate. You have to watch, carefully and closely, very closely. Just like a friend, just like your body and mind, very closely you have to constantly watch, taking care of. This is the negotiating way. negotiating away. So I think wholeheartedly means the concentrate, you have to do zazen wholeheartedly, which means to negotiating, okay? Zazen what you are doing, okay? Because we are standing up in the moment, which is very subtle, very subtle. Subtle means in a sense, very crisis point. You are in a crisis point. At the crisis point, whichever you go, you can go. If you, well, whatever you want to do, you can do it. Okay? It's a very, well, crisis point situation. Okay? Is that clear? Crisis situations. For instance, at the first very moment, the first thought, okay? What you cannot realize it is very crisis situations. Okay? You can go to this way or you can go that way. Okay? Truth or samsaric world, very freely you can do. So that the very first moment or thought is completely free from any conceptual ideas. That is reality we live in. That's why reality from this reality, you can create your life. It depends on you. Okay. But if you, it depends on you to create samsaric world by your discriminating mind. Yesterday I mentioned, should I run a business, but I don't have money, but I want to have, I want to do. What shall I do? So you always juggling money, this way and that way, this way, that way. Finally, nothing to do. So this is a really picture of the human suffering we created. This is called samsara. So finally, what you have to do is, if you don't have money, anyway, stop it. That's very clear. So you can stop it, but you can create the samsara. So that is your situation that you live in constantly. So that is, I mentioned, the very first beginning, the very first the thought or moment, okay? It's very difficult to say moment, but temporarily I say first moment, very first moment. But it is not the something you can put the name on it, okay? It's very first, very beginning. So you, nothing there, but it's working something. So that is the, what to say, wholeheartedly, okay? Wholeheartedly, you have to do wholeheartedly. Otherwise, you cannot be there exactly, okay? So, one is to listen to the Dharma and a great teacher. The other is to do Zazen wholeheartedly. And then Dogen Zenji mentions, listening to the Dharma means to give full play to the discriminating mind. Full play. This is Dr. Abe said, uses disport, to disport yourself in samadhi, something like that. If you do zazen, you disport yourself in samadhi. So to listen to the Dharma is to disport yourself in samadhi. So called listening, Buddha's teaching, listening to Buddha's teaching. Because discriminating mind is characterized by attachment. Just like uttek, you know. Wherever, you know, discriminating mind goes, a world of intellect or world of sensation, anyway, discriminating mind always attached to. Okay? Like a uttek. You have to understand that the characteristics of discriminating mind, on the other hand, discriminating mind doesn't have a particular, you know, the solid, you know, nature, so-called attachment. So if you don't meddle with discriminating mind is always working in every area of the existence, you know, freely. So when you concentrate on breathing, just breathe, you know, concentrate on breathe. But discriminating mind allows you to watch, reflect upon yourself, what you are doing as a result. You are always watching the result. So this is really attachment, so-called attachment, created by reflections. So automatically we do it. Okay? They attach it. So if you don't do it, well, perfectly you use your whole energy and just plunge into samadhi itself, well, there is no room for the discriminating mind to reflect upon what you are doing. Because you and your body and mind are exactly one with samadhi or breathing itself. So that's why listening to the Dharma means to give full play to discriminating mind. So if you have the attachment, very strong attachment to your ideas or your ism, your standpoint, very naturally you are critical to others, and you cannot open your heart, and you cannot accept, you cannot listen to Dharma. Dharma means universe. Okay? Your body and mind is very small. So if you don't open your heart, there is no space to allow the whole universe to let in. But usually we don't do it. Always we have a discriminating mind of our own, and then we see it. We see ourselves and others itself. So very naturally, you become critical. You become critical to others very naturally. That is, simultaneously, you are critical to yourself. So there is no way to be free from, you know, discriminating mind. So you are completely caught by discriminating mind. So listen to Buddha's teaching is, anyway, to learn something, to allow your discriminating mind to be free, anyway, free. to open your heart. This is listening to the Buddha's teaching. So through the great teacher, through the teacher, you can listen to Buddha's teaching, but we are always critical toward teaching and also teacher. So if I say don't be critical to the teacher, immediately should I be blind? Should I accept teachers? Exactly. This is also critical. So you have to complete beyond this one. You have to anyway throw yourself to the Buddha Dharma. Or anyway, and listen to. Otherwise, you never know what the freedom is. Why do you practice speech of life? It's ridiculous. If you're always critical toward something and toward life, toward the teaching, that is not necessary. That, if you do this, I think it's necessary for you to practice Zazen and Buddha's teaching and religion. But if you go to the Christianity, Christian people are very simple to tell you, believe God. What do you mean? Can't you understand what the God is? No one understands what the God is. But everyone accepts God. Do you have your own discriminating mind toward God? Oh, of course, but finally, you don't have any ideas of God. So you always open the heart toward him right in front of the God. That's why Christianity is a very strong, powerful anyway to the human beings, anybody's, you know. Because simply, they represent, you know, the existence of God. You have to believe whether you like or not. Anyway, they just present God right there. But Buddhism doesn't. That's why Buddhism is pretty good in a sense, but Buddhism is very dangerous, you know, because it allows you to be very critical, intellectual. That's not good for us. Very intellectual. So the Buddhism allows you to make your head big. And when you are young, you like very much, you know, Buddhism, because very intellectual, scientifical, psychological, and very humanistic, and you love it. But I don't think it is real spirit of Buddhism. You have to go beyond. Anyway, you have to go through this one. Otherwise, you don't understand real spirit of Buddhism. So that's why we have to practice anyway under the guidance of a person who lives here, and you need that this kind of guidance through the real person. Okay? The first point, the second point I have mentioned as a key point of practice. We have to understand those two. Next, we have to actualize those two key points of our practice under the guidance of a person and who lives with you. Okay? And then we have to listen to Buddha's teaching. Yes. So that's why Dogen then says to listen to the Dharma means to give full play to the discriminating mind. So no matter how long you discuss about what is the right teacher, What is a wrong teacher? Forget it. You know, it's ridiculous to discuss about this one. Instead of this, please do. Please practice. Okay? According to this, these points I have mentioned, this is most important. Otherwise, no matter how long you critical toward the Buddha's teaching, toward your teachers, etc., it doesn't make sense for you as a Buddhist. If you really want to know what's the spiritual life. So including teacher and also student has to practice constantly these points. So key points of practice, okay? Every day. And then you can know what the right teacher, true teacher is. So I mentioned sometimes you have to continually to seek for what the true teacher is. Forever you have to research. You have to seek him for. Don't think that this person or that person is right teacher for you. Don't think in that way. But temporarily, this teacher or that teacher is your teacher by according to the causes and the conditions. So no way to escape. Okay? So temporarily, let's practice. Let's practice under this teacher or that teacher. You have been confronted, you have met in your lifetime by virtue of conditions and causes. So this is a unique opportunity for you. No other way to go. Then what we have to practice. Okay? This is important. What you have to practice, instead of thinking or discussing what the teacher, right teacher is, it's a second layer anyway. Right teacher is, you have to anyway show or practice Buddha's teaching day by day, okay? And teacher also, exactly teaching, practicing Buddha's teaching anyway with you. And then we will understand what the right teacher is. Okay, so that's why to listen to the Dhamma means to give full play to the discriminating mind. Zazen is to manage freely practice and realization. So yesterday I mentioned about the practice. Okay? Practice is constantly you have to come back to the beginning, very beginning of your existence. Okay? You come back to the very beginning of your birth. Come back to the very beginning of standing right now, right here, very beginning, not to come back to the result, what you have, what you can see, standing, okay? It's not a result. You have to come back to real thought of standing right now, right here. Then, this is real managing zazen, okay? What is this? This, when you come back to the real thought, that is called, anyway, managing freely practice and realizations. Okay? Because when you come back, that thought, this is pretty hard practice. So it's practice. Because we are already creating our own life. Then put them aside, and then we have to go back to that one, that source, That's pre-hour practice. But when you go back to there, it's not hard practice. Immediately you are supported. Just like jumping into the oceans, okay? Before you jump into the ocean, you have to think what the ocean is, what swimming is, what the fear is, what happens. I don't know what happens in my body and mind. Anyway, maybe the moment when I jump into the ocean, I could die. I don't know. There is no guarantees. So lots of stuff coming up. That's pretty hard practice. Anyway, training your bodies, your mind, understanding swimming, oceans, and form of swimming, etc. But when you jump it, you know, naturally your body, when you sink into the ocean, the moment when you jump, but simultaneously your body float. So very natural, you are supported. So this is what is called to learn the backward step, which turn your light inwardly to illuminate yourself. Okay, Kanda Zen says. Or plainly speaking, it is called reflection. Reflection. So reflection, in a sense, reflection is considered as a human suffering beyond human consciousness, okay? In terms of hard practice, it's really hard practice because suffering is real serious, really a serious matter in life, okay? Proportion, because you cannot get out from this. But for this suffering, you can survive. Anyway, you have to appreciate this suffering because we are seeking for constantly something more than the conscious world or unconscious world. We are seeking for always. This is a suffering. So that suffering comes into existence before, beyond your consciousness, function of your consciousness. So it is very serious in life. But if you realize it, if you realize that suffering, real suffering, coming from the first moment of your being, exactly, then you can attain enlightenment. So suffering makes you sad and painful, but on the other end, suffering makes you become big, laughter, relief. You can relief, exactly. Well, you can experience in your life, if you cry day by day, one moment, crying, complete crying, you know, makes you big laughter. Okay? Just like the bottom of bucket, you know, are broken and the water rushing away from this. Okay? All of a sudden. So this is a real picture of human suffering. Okay? And the next Dogen Zenji mentions, everyone is endowed with body and mind, though their actions inevitably vary, being either strong or weak, brave or cowardly. It is through the daily actions of our body and mind, however, that we directly become Buddha with our body and mind. This is known as realization of the way, he says. Realization, Jotō, Jotō. So Jotō, to assimilate and actualize it, is to become Buddha with your body and mind directly, not to become Buddha after doing something, okay? We always think, by practice, then I will be Buddha. I am not good, that's why I want to practice. Then after practice, I will be Buddha. I will be good boy. This is a dualistic. So Jotō is directly. You have to become Buddha with your whole body and mind. Your body and mind. This is a Jotō. Okay? Well, without this one, without Jotō assimilating and actualizing it, okay, no one grows, no one is educated, okay? That is real education of human being. Because everyone lives in that way. But people misuse that it, okay? Even though they are there. They are present in it, but they misuse, misunderstand and misuse and so very naturally, if you don't teach that way, teach Jotō, assimilating and actualizing itself, it, okay? You can't educate anybody properly. Of course, school educate many people. But what does school teach? I don't think school teaches how to assimilate, how to realize it. No. Always something, you know, something on, you know, floating on the surface of oceans. Always we teach those. So, well, we are completely forget it. It's it, okay? Where we always are present in it. So we have to teach this one. Okay? That's why the Zen Buddhism, anyway, to teach that, okay? Otherwise, you can't grow, you can't educate yourself, you cannot teach, you cannot help anybody. Through the daily actions of our body and mind, however, that we directly become the Buddha. Okay? This is known as Jotō, assimilating, actualizing, and actualizing it. Okay? This is called transmit. Okay, transmit sublimity of human life to next generation. Okay, and next he says there is no need to there is no need to change our existing body and mind for the direct realization of the way. simply means here it says Dogen then tried to explain what dialect means, what dialectness means. It means directness means to allow to be realized by the teacher, by teacher. Teacher means the Buddha, okay? By the Buddha. So the two direct means to allow to be realized, okay? By the teacher, by the Buddha, means you not try to realize. If you try to realize, you are already attaching to your own discriminating mind. That's why you always look at yourself and look at the teachers, look at the teaching, and look at the process of your practice. So very naturally, lots of criticism coming up. Okay? But actually, direct means you have to realize where you are, okay? If you put yourself properly in the proper place, you are allowed to be realized. In other words, to be realized, what would you say? Jumping into the ocean, okay? If you put your body and mind properly in the proper place, so-called ocean, and properly you have to jump into, then you can swim. So swim is not something you try to swim, okay? Because you are allowed to be swept by what? Something more than you. Your effort. So ocean, technique, teacher, your emotions, something more than your emotions and many things anyway, you are exactly allowed to swim. So that is direct. So directness doesn't mean you try to get something directly, okay? In other words, you not try to understand, not try to know it. But instead of trying to know or understanding, you put yourself properly in the proper place. That is first. Then you are supported. But every day would be completely reversed. Everydayness you live, okay, will be completely reversed. Is that clear? You always try to know. You try to understand first, okay? Means you comes first. So you always comes first. That's why you want to know object. This is very usual everyday life. Okay. So at that time you cannot get anything directly from the lifeline of the grandeur of nature. No, you never get it. Even though you go to the wilderness, you never get life rhythm of life of the witness, never. So all if you really want to get to something directly, you put your body and mind properly in the proper place. Then you are exactly allowed to be realized. This is the most important key point, okay? Key point, most important point of our practice. It is not only the Buddhism, particularly Christianity. Christianity often mentions believe God. This is very strong, powerful, and strong, you know, inspiration that you can get. Believe God, and in front of the God, you have to see yourself everything. That's really powerful. So, consciously or unconsciously, Western people always put themselves in exactly in the kingdom of God. So, it's pretty powerful. And then, we are supported. So that's why people always believe the religion is something that they accompanied by mysterious and miracle experiences. And if you do it, constantly you can do it. You know? But this is also very important practice for us. So even the Buddhism never ignore that point. Okay? But Buddhism doesn't emphasize only that one, okay? But on the other hand, Buddhism emphasizes many things, okay? In order to manage that strong, powerful belief, okay? Which allows you to be realized by something more than you, okay? More than effort. Buddhism try to see something more. So, in Shoji no Maki, Life and Death, and it is very famous passage here, you know already, when you simply release and forget both your body and your mind, and throw yourself into the house of Buddha, and when functioning comes from the direction of the Buddha, and you go in accord with it, then with no strength needed and no thought expended, free from birth and death, you become Buddha. Then there can be no obstacle in any man's mind. So your mind, discriminating mind, is given full play in where? So called samadhi. So you have to simply release if you really want to release and forget both your body and mind, so called freedom. You have to throw yourself into the house of Buddha. That is life, a rhythm of life, of the grandeur of nature, anyway, huge universe. You have to open your heart. This is open your heart. Throw, okay? Instead of shutting off yourself, always in the small, the house, so-called discriminating mind. And when the functioning comes from the direction of the Buddha, if you open yourself and throw yourself into the rhythm of the grandeur of nature, very naturally, function comes from not you, from you, from the rhythm of grandeur of nature. So very naturally, you can learn something, even though you don't want to learn. If you put yourself properly in the proper place, very naturally you can learn the spirit of the wilderness if you want. But even though you don't want to learn anything, if you put yourself there, exactly you can learn something. So when that is, Dogen Zen says, when the functioning comes from the direction of the Buddha, and you go in accord with it, you really become one with it. Then, with no strength needed and no thought expended, free from birth and death, free from discriminating mind, free from your thought, and you become Buddha. You become Buddha means you are allowed to be exactly in peace, in harmony. That is what? It is really something surprise. It's really surprise, astonishment, big shock. Then from this, you can see the broader picture, panorama picture of life. Okay? Through the wilderness, through the grandeur of nature. Including your life, including bird, pebbles, and the skies, whole universe, you can learn. From where that all life of the whole universe, it's simple. Surprise, astonishment. Which you can, when you really touch the spirit of grandeur of nature, it's just a simple. But that simplicity is unfolded and learned many things. Philosophy, psychology, and physics, and the religions, many world comes up from that. To do this is neither to be bound by viewpoints nor to create new ones. It is simply to realize the way.
Okay. Do you have a question?
Sutra, opening sutra, verse.
Yeah, I guess the training to see and listen to, remember and accept. The third line.
Let's see the Japanese, okay? Ware ima kenmon, okay? Ware ima kenmon shi juji suru koto o etari. What it means are we, okay? Or I. Ima means right now, right here. Ken means to see. Mon is to listen. Means using the six senses, all six senses. Okay. In other words, with whole body and mind. Okay, that is to see, ken mon, to see and to listen. Okay, she juji suru, juji means to receive and maintain. Receive and keep. That is juji. Okay? Suru koto etari. So to receive and keep. Koto etari means I have received and kept Dharma. Okay? So, is that all right? Uh-huh. So that means, yes, the exactly, that's why Ima, now, I have seen and received. Okay? And accepted or received and kept the Dharma, which is difficult for a human being to meet. Okay? So that is a direct, but intellectually we don't see it. It's very difficult to see.
Also, I was wondering if, from the point of view of twelvefold chain of causation, from the point of view of the twelvefold chain of causation, what is first thought?
Ignorance. First thought. Mm-hmm. First thought is according to the 12 chains causation, it is ignorance. Yeah, ignorance. And then world coming up. Alright? But ignorance is that according to the awakening of faith, okay? Ignorance is the bottom of the Arya Vijnana. Exactly, bottom of Arya Vijnana. So, which is very close to Tathagata, so called eternity. Okay? So that is, but the, so that is a real partition between Tathagatagarbha and Arya Vijnana. Then when something goes through this partition, something happens. That is ignorance, we say. We don't know what. So ignorance comes into existence by causes and conditioned elements. That we can say, because we cannot trace back to ignorance from where it comes.
Contact.
Contact. I'm talking about according to 12 chains causation. Okay. The first thought is, according to it, I think, ignorance. And then how ignorance create human world, then you can say contact. Okay? So at least five consciousness there. Consciousnesses exist. Okay? Whatever circumstances you may be, at least five consciousness exist there. Under all circumstances, okay? Then ignorance create lots of samsaric world. Is that all right?
Hey. Could you please explain again what you meant by saying that
full play.
Full?
Mm-hmm. Give full play.
Sort of like big horse pasture is, give the fish pasture, serve him carefully. Is that the same thing?
Give a horse.
You know, in the beginner's mind, the saying is, cow. Oh, give the cows the big pasture.
Horse pasture.
Yeah, and just observe them.
Mm-hmm. Horse pasture.
But that's the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's just leave it flow and observe. You observe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is a yes. Any other question?
Taking the backward step and like saying, please shut up.
You don't like it. Why? Even though you don't like it, girl, but there is a final things you can do. Unique final things you can do after struggling for long. So that is a unique way to allow you to exist fully. Is there anyone to comment?
Well, you said that taking a backward step is reflection?
Yes, reflection.
Is there a difference between reflection and attention?
Attention? Maybe. Reflection is something more than attention. Attention is just pay, just look at, but reflection is creating something from, by the attention. So very naturally, creating, thinking, if you see something, you can think, okay? Thinking come up. But next, judgment, evaluation, and preferences, affective preferences come up, lots of stuff. This is reflections. Okay? But attention is just to pay attention, to see. Book step, I think, plainly speaking, I think reflection. So in many, under all circumstances, in a favorable condition, unfavorable condition, we always reflect ourselves. Even in a perfect situation, we reflect upon ourselves. We look at ourselves. Not only the, just to pay attention to, you know, myself, you know, but also creating something. Do you understand? I said the dancing and playing pianos, and the right in the middle of playing piano or dancing, still we reflect upon ourselves. How are you? How is going on? You know? Sometimes you judge, oh, pretty good now, okay? Next moment you slip off and you think, oh, I make a mistake, something like that. We always reflect in many ways. That is really my minute vibration of a mind there, okay? Then why we create this one, we don't know. But we want to know. This is a reflection. Constantly different. We don't know from where it comes, but we want to know what make it possible for this vibration, minute vibration to be. Okay? So that is reflection, really reflection, pretty deep. So very naturally we have to reflect it, to learn the backward step means we have to come back to that beginning. The very beginning of standing and chanting, and the very beginning. Okay.
I thought first thoughts were first thoughts. I don't understand how they're ignorant. I thought they arise naturally. Does ignorance arise naturally?
Naturally. I don't know what naturally means. Naturally means maybe causes and conditioned elements, by conditioned element, and then comes up. But maybe we can say this is natural. But naturally means still there is some reason why it comes up. So nothing comes up at random without any reason. There is some reason. That's why everything is produced according to causation, law of causation. So even the first thought comes up by the virtue of law of causation, some reason. It has some reason. But it's very deep, that's why we don't know from where it comes. The first thought means the very beginning. Okay? Before you can put the name on it, you don't know it is the first thought or not, anyway. not that I'm talking, but temporarily I put the name on first thought. Because we cannot know. We cannot know the something more than the first thought. It's very vast in eternity. So what we can know is the very beginning of samsara. Okay? So that the very beginning means the first, the inception of the thought. You know, that's what I mean. But it is exactly the same as, you know, the eternity. Do you have some comment on this? Anyone? Thought, sentence.
That's the common, I think, or at least part of the sentence, or quite a few.
Mm-hmm. That's why I say the very beginning. The very beginning. Sentences, whatever it is. The very beginning of forming something. The very beginning of taking something in the possession of a form. That's what I mean. Very beginning. How can I say? Do you have a comment? Anyone on this?
Precondition leading to thought. Without first thought, there wouldn't be any first thought in itself. But if you're talking about first thought, which is really the cast of experience.
You can be present, but you cannot. It cannot appear in the conscious level, but you can pass through. You can go through this, but it is something more than the experience and discriminating thought and. So you just pass through. So the other day, the Ndoka asked me that, do you experience that one? Do you remember? The main point is it is not important whether you can experience it or not, because anyone can experience. Okay, the main point is that how can you live to the full, okay, without being caught by experience. Alright? Is that clear? That is our practice. Final goal every day. Under the guidance of teachers. That's why we need the real person there. Okay? Is that clear? Usually we always are interested in the experience, So we always check clue. We always checking everyone's. Have you ever have? It's there. Then if you say, yes, I know, I have experience, then the people will really admire you. But life is not something like that. Life is not something you can mold. You can mold it, you know, into a certain form, so-called experience. No. Of course, experience is a part of your life, but life as a whole is constantly moving. Okay, with whole world, past, present, future. So we don't know. We don't know still what it is. But actually, you have to deal with that life as a whole. That's why experience is just a speck of dust. I'm sorry for us, but it is true. So finally, we have to. Experience is very important, but we cannot be caught by individual experience. So point is, how you live to the full, okay? Without being caught by the individual experience, individual ideas, and ism and etc. You know. Is that okay? Is that okay, Dokai-san? You have a question? Yeah, it's they're coming from ignorance. Ignorance. But the desire is already, what would you say, unfold parachute already, okay? Ignorance is still the folded parachute. The desire is unfold parachute, and you are enjoying flying in the sky. Okay? But no guarantee, you know. Can't you continue to fly in the sky? No way. But many people, anyway, enjoy individually, you know, their own parachute. But always bumping each other and, you know, making a hole in the parachute and fighting and they came down, crashed on the ground and cry, scream, always, this is samsara. Do you understand? So desire is, anyway, unfold parachute. Okay? That's wonderful, anyway. That's why we enjoy very much. That's a good idea. I'm for the parachute. Oh, balloon. If you ride on a balloon, you know, parachute is more fun, than the balloon. You can feel many things. The airs, skies, and the peoples. Uchiyama says the helicopter. Uchiyama Roshi took the example helicopter. The individual life is just like a helicopter, you know. three propeller, you know, three propeller, and three poisons of, you know, desires, three poisonous desires, three propellers, and flying in the sky, and bumping each other, you know, and hurting each other, the crying, scream, crashing on the ground, and fixing again and fly again. That's what Jhāna Rāsa said. That's an interesting word, don't you? That's fine. Parash. Now, a helicopter is a very modernized helicopter, you know, with a gun and a machine. In the future, I don't know what kind of parachute you can create. Maybe you can have a, you know, parachute, very automatic gun, you know.